Welcome to 33 Tangents, a podcast discussing a wide variety of topics from digital analytics to working remotely to current happenings in business and technology. Your hosts, Jason Thompson, John Narang, and myself, Jim Driscoll, all live in different areas of the world, but work together in the same company. Our regular day-to-day conversations often go off in various directions, and the goal of this podcast is to share our ideas and find new ways to engage with others. Because today it's a follow-up to something John had mentioned the last time we chatted, and we kind of started talking about, you know, the three of us kind of being like in this phase now in our careers where we don't want to work in that large corporation. You know, John labeled it, you know, post-corporate at this point. And, you know, the concept of stability and security, right? You know, everybody wants, you know, that job security. For one reason or another, but does job security truly exist? Or, you know, they say, okay, the big corporate job, you know, to set the table, the big corporate job, you know, they're a big company, they're well funded, you know, I'm going to have much more security than either taking the risk. And there's definitely risk in going out and starting up on, you know, starting up my own little venture. Or, okay, maybe I'm not going to start up my own venture, but work in a small organization, 5, 6, 10 people, and, you know, working from them, you know, there seems to be this perception that it's more risky to do the latter two than to go with the former, working in the large corporation. And, you know, I personally feel that it's actually more risky working in a large corporation these days, just because we've seen, you know, large corporations that always seem to be doing very well, very quickly take a turn for the worst. And the people that thought they were in a nice, good spot are the ones left out in the cold.
Yeah. And honestly, I think there are risks all around. It's just the risks are different and need to be weighed properly. And part of it is generational, in that, at least for my generation, we were kind of raised thinking that job security was the most important thing. In my mom's generation, it was about getting a job at one company and staying there. You know, the whole gold watch retirement thing. And that was kind of what I was taught, is like, you find a good company and you stay there. My grandparents' generation was even more conservative in that. For them, it was all about getting a government job. You know, get a good government job and you'll be taken care of. And I remember in high school, my grandma worked for the Bureau of Reclamation her whole career. And she was really interested and driven in me getting a government job. And one of the things she pushed me to do was take the civil service exam, which allows you to apply for employment with the government. And one of the first jobs that I applied for was with the U.S. Post Office. And apparently my civil service scores were so horrifically bad, I wasn't even qualified to work for the post office. So I gave up that dream of having a government job very early. But, you know, I think, you know, that generational thing really comes into play, and we're still kind of dealing with the aftermath of, you know, working for the government, getting a job with a big company. It's, you know, it's stable. They'll take care of you. We still have that kind of myth in our head that that's how it works, and it doesn't. And not to say that, you know, a big company is bad and a good company is great. No, I mean, they all have their inherent risks, and anyone going into it should look to evaluate what those are and align it with what they're trying to do. The lessons I learned in big corporations, I probably wouldn't have learned anywhere else. So I wouldn't have changed that. But for me, where I'm at in my career now, I don't ever see myself wanting to be in that situation again. It's just something that I'm not interested in. And you know, security is part of it. And it's twofold. One, I think there is a sense that we give too much security to a big company that we're always going to have a job. It's not true. We've seen companies we work with that are billion-dollar companies that one day you're out of a job. It happens. And the other risk is one of personal growth. You become there's a trap of becoming too comfortable and not pushing yourself. And your skills become outdated, your network becomes outdated, and then where are you at? I mean, that's a risk as well. So while a risk of working for a small company is definitely there, you know, the revenues are much different. Changes in direction and revenue have a much bigger impact on a small company. But, you know, there's risks all around. So I think it's important to evaluate across the board.
I think there's another aspect of risk too, not just necessarily losing the job, but even what to, if you take the definition a little bit differently to like what to expect from the job as well, because that can be very different. In terms, maybe it's more on the stability side. Like in many large corporations, you know, when you start a job, you look at the job description and your day to day, it's kind of predefined for you. Whereas in a small company, you really don't know what every day can bring. And there's a lot more volatility there. That's another aspect I was thinking about recently when I was thinking about the stability side of things. Because it's almost like it's your perception of stability of the job as well, even if, you know, it might not be in jeopardy or not, which I totally agree with that. The fact that although the standard, you know, old saying is that jobs are generally safer in large companies versus small. I've also seen from, you know, personal experience too, in terms of, you know, impacted layoffs and things, those things have always happened to me in being in very large environments, where sometimes the employees themselves are valued a little bit less in some organizations than they would be in the smaller companies. So a few points I made there, but hopefully someone can unpack them.
John's going to have to talk, or Jim's going to have to talk, because my daughter's walking into my office. One of the joys of working from home.
Jim has gone silent. I'm looking at these microphone waveforms, and you know, they kind of remind me of heartbeats.
Jim's microphone has, what an opportune time for Jim's microphone today. Apparently my daughter took my credit card yesterday and then was at school and realized she still hadn't and hadn't returned it to me. So there you go.
What I was going to say, like kind of in response to John before the mic, before the mic died, what I was going to say was, I think a lot of it comes down to perspective. Because, you know, Jason, to your point, like I was kind of raised the same way too. Like I had grandparents who worked for the same companies for 40 years and then retired. My dad even, you know, at times like took part-time jobs here and there, pretty much worked for the same company his entire career and retired from there 6 years ago. There was that, but I even kind of picked up that kind of mentality in college. I remember like, you know, listening to some of the professors and I'm like, really, you know, kind of going and doing the same job every day. Right. Because you do fall in like, and I'm not, and again, it's to each person, you know, what they want, to each their own, as far as what they're looking for out of their career. But I know for me, like I need variety. You know, I couldn't see myself going in, and while I do need some kind of routine throughout the day, going in and doing the same exact thing every day. And that's exactly what I think about with a large corporate job. You're just kind of sitting there in a plain suit at a desk and you're just kind of stamping the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I couldn't do that. And I mean, that's part of it is the variety. But then, yeah, when you get down to the security part of it is because, you know, what our grandparents learned, and even into our parents' generation, what they were taught and the way they did things with, like, you know, you work at the same company, maybe you move once in your career, but you pretty much spend 40 years doing the same thing for the same company and you're going to retire nicely. You know, that's dead with our generation. That's my blunt statement on it. I think that's dead. You see like people who think, you know, you're in the most stable of companies and next thing you know, there's layoffs and there's multiple rounds of layoffs. And maybe you're not caught up in the first one, but you're caught up eventually. And, you know, at that point, you know, you're on your own. And, you know, if you do have a pension, you know, you've seen it sometimes where a company, in order to, you know, fix the problem or bail things out, they raid the pension. So, I mean, to me, that's definitely not the definition of security. Whereas for me, working for a smaller organization, you know, it gives me that variety, that spice of life. But then I think there is, for me, while there is definitely some risks, I think it's a much more secure position, because you're more than just a number. You're more than just a metric. You're someone who there is a direct correlation to what you do, to the bottom line of the company. And I'm starting to ramble. I'm starting to get a little tongue tied, but what it does is I think, you know, that those risks, I think, you know, those risks are healthy, and I think it pushes you much more. So then you actually see, you know, how the company grows. And again, I think that is a risk I'm willing to take for what I think is something more stable. I know exactly what's going on. I know where things are. I know what my contributions do. And, you know, I to me, that's a level of security. And then just the fact that, you know, with that variety, it gives me a very strong skill set.
Yeah, and I think there's a good potential segue here to another topic that we may tackle here or another time. By the way, side point, John, there is an episode on the IT Crowd where they do raid the pension fund. So I've tied everything all together there.
Okay, nice. I don't think our side conversation about the IT Crowd was on.
It wasn't. So while Jim, while you were trying to like sort out your mic issue, I was telling John he has to watch a couple episodes of the IT Crowd because it's hilarious. But I think one of the pivots from that comment, Jim, is that one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about and reading a lot about is, to your point, you know, a sense of purpose. And there's the whole concept of trading security, quote unquote, for a sense of purpose. And it's one of the things that I honestly struggled with in the early part of my career is I couldn't figure out why I disliked my job so much. And ultimately, I came to the conclusion was because it felt like I didn't have a sense of purpose. And that if my job went away tomorrow or I didn't show up to work, like nothing would matter. Like it wouldn't have any impact on the business or the companies I was working with or the clients that I have. Like it wouldn't have any impact. And that was really draining for me. And so I, not to say that there always needs to be a great overwhelming sense of purpose in your job, but if there isn't, I think it's important that you find a sense of purpose elsewhere. But for me, one of the draws of a smaller company was having that sense of purpose. And when I left, and it wasn't a large company, when I left a company of like 10,000 people, I joined Omniture and there were maybe 100 people. And I really loved it. And I had much more of a sense of purpose because I felt like what I was doing actually mattered. And then as the company grew and announced they were going public, I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore. This isn't of interest to me. So I joined a smaller company. And from there, I joined a smaller company. And it's like every move I made in my career was going to a smaller and smaller company. And it wasn't company size per se, but it was that I was chasing that importance of having a purpose. And to me, it was maybe trading security for purpose, but that was really a myth. And I quickly found out that that was a myth, that, you know, there really is no sense of job security, and really being able to find purpose was the thing that was most important to me. And unfortunately, I let that myth of job security hold me back far too long before I started on that journey.
Yeah, I actually started my career out with a small software company here in the Philadelphia area. And when I joined, it was like just like 60 people. And like, it was funny, like my sister actually had worked for the company doing other things, and like, oh, you know, we're starting to spin up a software division. You know how to use a computer. And she was actually moving away to, she was transferring schools and she was moving out of the area. And I'm like, give me their number. You know, at that point I was, you know, starting my junior year in college, and you know, I was looking to see, you know, add one more thing to my resume before, like, you know, the job hunting really starts for, you know, after graduation. And, you know, just cold called this guy one day, went in, met with him for a half an hour, and like, okay, you got the job. And from there, like, my role grew as just kind of like this, you know, intern to co-op to, you know, just part-timer you. And I actually stayed on with them full time for a few years after that. And then, yeah, it was great because I was watching the company grow. But I look back at those first few years when there was like 60 of us and we were all just kind of huddled in this one room and just trying to get stuff done. And I look back, but, you know, of course, you know, you're young and, you know, sometimes, you know, you kind of think it's fun, but then you're grumbling at the time. But now I kind of look back and I look back nostalgically at those days. And then I moved on to a couple bigger companies and you just couldn't rekindle that. And I'm like, I need to get back into a smaller organization. Just because, like, you know, while it's smaller, and again, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but it was fun. I felt secure in my job, you know, no matter how big it was. And, you know, some people say, well, it's a private company. It's small. It might not be funded well. It could go out of business tomorrow. Well, Enron was one of the biggest companies for the longest time, and it literally went out of business in a matter of days.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they were cooking the books. Don't get me wrong. There are
other things going on.
We all know that. Yeah. There were other things going on too. But, you know, again, they, you know, on paper, they were one of the most well-funded companies, a very big company, and they went out of business in days.
Yeah.
So I look back fondly, like, you know, I was helping this company. You know, I was contributing to the security of the company is what I'm trying to get to, right? You know, because you can see your output and you know exactly what your efforts are going to, you can contribute to the security of the company. And that's kind of what I felt.
Yeah. And I think it's an interesting point from a big company perspective in that, you know, I think the way I look at it is all of these things are necessary for it to go, right? If everyone was just a small little company, we wouldn't have the ecosystem that we have. And I think about it in the space that we're in that there's lots of different analytics consulting agencies and they're all needed, right? They're all needed to make it go. And we kind of all rely on each other, whether we're a small 5-person company or a 50,000 person consultancy, like we're all kind of needed to make it go. But from a big company perspective, it's interesting because I think it's something that I'm sure some of the better run companies are well aware of, that they need to go out of their way to help provide a sense of belonging and purpose. And I think John probably has better insight than any of us into that because he's worked for companies with probably hundreds of thousands of employees. You know, how do you curate that at a big company? Because it is, you know, it's what we crave. We all want to feel like we're doing something that matters.
Yeah, it's difficult because, yeah, at the big companies, yeah, I mean, I think for the big companies, the additional aspect that the management likes to invest in is like internal marketing, you know, that you're kind of, you know, they have to kind of force feed you sometimes the idea that you're making an impact. But in the reality, like, at least from my personal experience, and I'm not talking about all big companies since I haven't worked everywhere, but I don't know, it kind of eventually shows that it is just marketing. Like, I think unless you're really high up in a big company, the truth is you generally don't really make an impact. Generally, your job is somewhat redundant. And not to say that's a bad thing. I mean, stability obviously is a very important aspect for why many people have jobs. For me personally, you know, I think I question whether stability is even a good thing to seek. You know, maybe the lack of stability actually, to me personally, makes my career journey a little bit more fun and interesting, and exciting. But yeah, it is a hard thing to feel like you really are making an impact at a large company. And yeah, honestly, even though I was working for brands that have made, you know, arguably very big impacts to the world individually, I never felt that way, I guess, that I myself was making a big impact. Whereas working for smaller companies, even though maybe the scope of the project we're working on is wasn't as, you know, world industry disrupting as that in a larger company, or one that aspires to be a very large company, I think it's easier to, you know, tangibly see the impact we're making. And it's, yeah, it's one of those things I think you said before, like it almost doesn't even matter how big that impact is, but just feeling that you made some impact is very satisfying.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And I think there was something else you mentioned in there that I agree with. And it actually kind of goes back to something we had talked about earlier, you know, not here, but, you know, an earlier conversation you and I had. And you talk about like the lack of stability or the lack of security is actually a good thing. You know, it's a motivating factor. You know, it lights that fire under your ass every day to not just, I don't want to say just execute, but it lights it to keep moving. Honestly, just get shit done, right? So that, you know, you're able to contribute. And I can see that too, because, you know, in the context, what I was talking about was I like having like a healthy to-do list, because that keeps me moving. And it keeps me motivated to get stuff done, because I've noticed, like, and this is, I think, human nature, like when that to-do list starts to dwindle for a while, when you kind of hit like, a couple days where, you know, there's not a lot going on, it's like, okay, I've got enough time. You know, I'll get to that. I only have like two things on the list. I'll get to it. Where when you have like six, it's like, okay, I need to plan on exactly when I'm going to get this done, when I'm going to deliver it, setting expectations with the client when it's going to be delivered, and you're able to move from one thing to the next. You know, so going back to what you're saying is the lack of stability actually prevents prevents complacency from coming in. So you have like a healthy motivation to
and it's hard to kind of verbalize too, but I feel like you are definitely more motivated to be more productive and efficient in an environment that doesn't necessarily seem as stable, maybe. Because I think, or maybe it's also the definition of, you know, when you think of large companies, stability, you know, there's a lot of people who feel very complacent, safe in their jobs too. And because of that, there's a lot of people that aren't performing at the top of their game all the time. And then when that happens, like, it just kind of, It makes for a very different work environment than a place where, you know, things are ebbing and flowing and everyone in like, you always have to be producing, I guess. I mean, not like,
yeah, there's no place to hide.
Yeah. But I mean, right? But not like the sweatshop mentality or, you know, mindset. It's more like, just like life. I think there's ebbs and flows with work and then with your life. And they just kind of, it's like they become harmonious with each other instead of trying to force, you know, like a round peg in a square hole kind of thing. I don't know if that analogy makes sense.
I think there's a line from Office Space. What does he say? He's like, I think in a given week, I only probably do like 15 minutes of real work. But that can be the reality sometimes. The first company that I worked for, you didn't really have to work that hard. I think people that worked really, really hard for maybe 20 hours a week were superstars, were high performers. And in fact, I knew of people that had very good, employee reviews that were running companies out of their office, because they just didn't have to be fully invested. And that's kind of the flip side of, you know, working for a small company. And something people should know when they're getting into it is that not the sweatshop mentality, but there really is nowhere to hide. So if you're at a 50,000 person company, you could probably hide a lot more and still get by. But at a small company, if you're not fully putting in the work all the time, it's noticeable, and it has a very real impact on the company as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that fact that there's no place to hide. You know, you can't, you know, you're going to be found out very, very quickly within that small organization, if you're able to produce or not, or, you know, if, you know, you're able to back up, you know, the sales pitch.
As a disclaimer, I think it is good to point out too, in defense of everyone working at large companies, it's not like I don't think we're saying that people are intentionally slacking off in large environments. It's just kind of how things end up happening many times, I think. Right. Like, it's not like,
By no means. There are obviously very, very hardworking, brilliant people at big companies. It's just it has a potential trap of enabling people that aren't self-motivated to make that work. By that, I mean, if you're not really pushing yourself to be the best, you can still get by in most companies. And that's where you tend to kind of have a drop off in your skills and your progression, that it, you know, in a smaller company, it's almost forced upon you that you need to execute and work at a very high level. At a big company, that motivation has to come more internally.
It's kind of like that anti-motivation force, because like you definitely see people that are working extremely hard at large companies. But then at the same time, for every one of those, there's usually someone that's, you know, working a little bit less. And then, you know, you wonder, you see good and bad things happen to both. And you, at least for me, like that driving motivation is, it's a little bit less when you see both sides of the coin.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think the real important message from this is that there isn't a right or a wrong. There isn't a best and a worst. There, you know, everything has its pros and cons. And the important thing is just to recognize that and evaluate what is the best fit for you as an individual, and align that with what your goals are and what you want to accomplish. And a big part of that is doing away with this myth of security that a lot of us from our generation got sucked into, and kind of push that aside and say, okay, that's a non-factor. What are the other factors that are important for me in my career? And, you know, is working at a big company going to get me there? If so, that's great. What are the risks that are associated with that? And vice versa for a small company, you know, maybe that's going to get me closer to my goals, but what are the risks associated with that? And again, let's take the security piece out of the discussion. There are a lot of risks involved with both, but let's not muddy those waters with the security discussion, where I think most people get hung up.
Yeah, definitely. I think so. And it's like, and for many people, I think myself included too, like stability might not be the goal either. It's like the no offense, but I mean, the thought of working in any company now to me for 20 years is hard to swallow a little bit. even with you guys.
Fear inducing. No, when I say fear inducing, I think of the person that, you know, spends 40 years at the same desk stamping the same piece of paper every day. And that's what, you know, I ultimately kind of, you know, and yeah, you're right. If security is your thing, that's great. But, you know, I also think, you know, with risk comes reward. And again, whether it's you're taking the massive risk of starting your own organization, or, you know, there is a risk of, you know, joining a small organization that is still trying to find its legs, the reward is great. And I will take that risk for that reward any day over, you know, the security of the same job.
That might be the most elegant way to put it, actually. Like the simplest way, like risk versus reward. Now, I mean, I think that's exactly what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. And to Jason's point,
yeah,
you know, there's not a totally right or wrong answer. It's a choice. It's a choice. What do you value most? I value variety. I value a challenge. I value, you know, the risks that you could take and seeing what, you know, you can make, you know, of, you know, what those opportunities that, you know, the opportunities are always tied with some level of risk, what you can make out of them. That's what I value most. And I will go that direction any day over, you know, just kind of, you know, coming in.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that's a good way to put it. Like for me, I also value the ability to adapt to different situations, and just the satisfaction that comes along with that. Whereas I think if it's, you know, the same thing day in, day out, it becomes, you know, incrementally less satisfying to me doing the work.
I'm finding the interesting side conversations we have tying back into this almost freaky. I think your mic might have been off when we were talking about films and stuff, Jim. But I was talking about how I'm a late adopter to movies, and I don't watch a lot of films. But in this, related to this conversation, there are two films that I think probably have not received very great reviews, or probably are a little under the radar, but Joe versus the Volcano and Visioneers are two great films to watch that are really closely related to this topic. If you haven't seen them, I would recommend both.
Interesting. I have not.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I'm going to put those on the list.
Visioneers is a really very interesting take on this topic. It's a Zach Galifianakis film, but it's very dark. Yeah, very kind of interesting film in this conversation. And if you just go watch the opening scene of Joe versus the Volcano, it's very entertaining.
Okay. I remember, you know, seeing like clips and you know, the trailers for Joe versus the Volcano. So I think I'll probably put that one on the list first. So, but yeah, I'll go at least look up, you know, watch the opening, you know, scenes of it.
Cool.
Cool.
Well, this was fun as always. I think we kind of, you know, really dissected the topic, and, you know, I think, you know, to summarize, yeah, it's not a good or bad thing. It's what you value, but, you know, I've also found that sometimes, like, if you seek something too much, you know, kind of like it sometimes backfires on you. So if you try to seek too much security, you know, you sometimes end up either getting like left out in the cold, or, you know, it's not exactly the security that you're looking for. So that's kind of like the genesis of this, and where sometimes when you seek the freedom, you know, seek freedom, which seems scary at first and doesn't have the stability you think it has, it actually, you know, I've found, you know, with that freedom comes the stability and security that you're looking for.
Indeed. That was very Taoist of you. I mean, there's the whole concept in Taoism about, you know, if you try to grasp, the harder you try to grasp something, the more likely you are to lose it.
It's a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, totally.
I've been trying to meditate more and more to kind of, you know, silence some of the noise in my head. And like that is actually something years ago, I would fall into that trap of, you know, being scared to lose something, that you work harder and harder to secure it, and you end up losing it because you work so hard. You know, sometimes it's like, you know, I'm going to quote Futurama here for a second. You know, there's this great line in this one episode where Bender, in a way, you know, becomes God, and he ends up meeting what you believe to be God, and he says, He says, you know, the advice he gets is you need to find how much, you know, the right amount to do, because if you do too much, you know, people get hurt. You don't do enough, people get hurt. But right there in the middle, when you do just enough, you know, the people around you are good, or whatever you're working on is good. And, you know, sometimes people think you do nothing at all. And it was actually kind of like one of these things. It's like, just, you know, finding the right level of touch. So really off topic there, but you know, it's an episode I often quote.
We should start a future podcast tying film and movies and sitcom into analytics and business. That might be fun.
We'll start with Moneyball.
Yeah, which I watched last night, by the way, for the third time.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't watched it recently. I've seen it before.
Great film.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, you know, from the way I understand it, you know, Theo Epstein, who won with the Red Sox and the Cubs, is a student of Billy Beane's and kind of took the same practice to just a team that had, you know, a major market team. And then the general manager from, you know, that's now with the Phillies, my team, you know, he's, you know, kind of follows the same practice. Like he kind of, not necessarily a student of Billy Beane, but, I wouldn't say he learned under Theo Epstein either, but kind of, you know, digs into analytics just like Theo Epstein. So I'm hoping for a World Series soon, you know, if everything pans out correctly.
You just won a Super Bowl. Now you want a World Series too. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
He's greedy.
I want a Stanley Cup as well. I'm greedy.
he wants an MLS Cup. You guys have the Union, right? You want all the championships.
I want them all.
Cool. All right. Good session.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so by emailing podcast@33sticks.com or on the web at www.33sticks.com. The 33 Tangents podcast is a production of 33 Sticks.